This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Bruchim Abayim. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for coming. I'd like to welcome all of our Torah Anytime viewers. Tonight's shiur is being sponsored by Mr. Oren Shelley. The Navi tells us in Sefer Nehemiah about when Yerushalayim was being rebuilt, about those who contributed to building the first half of the wall. So Oren certainly is among those who contributed in building the shiur when we were in our incipient stages, when we were lucky if we got a minyan here. So now we're up to the second half, but we won't forget Zachati Lach Chesed Nurayich, how in our beginning stages, Oren was here every night, opening up, preparing, which he still does, and we thank him for all of his endeavors on behalf of the shul. Malei Hashem kol mishalis libcha l'toiva. Hey, Parshas Chukas, the last couple of weeks, we've discussed various contemporary halachic issues. And the most important thing about a shiur is you don't want to be predictable. You know, once somebody could pin you down and say, you know, this is what he's going to talk about this week, that's when you go out of business, right? So we don't want to be predictable. And therefore, this evening, we're going to try a new approach and a new type of shiur. The Torah tells us in Parak Chaf, Pasuk Chaf Tes, Vayiru kol ha'eda ki gava Aaron. The congregation saw that Aaron had passed away. Vayivku es Aaron shloshim yom kol beis Yisrael. And the entire Klal Yisrael cried for Aaron for 30 days. Vayishma ha'knani melech Arad Yosef ha'negev. So the Knani, the king of Arad, who dwelled in the south, heard about something. Ki ba Yisrael darach ha'asarim. That the Bnei Yisrael were coming, Derech HaAsarim, the road of the Asarim. We'll have to translate, what does that mean? Derech HaAsarim. Vayilochem b'Yisrael, they fought against the Jewish people. Vayish mimenu Shevi. They took captive, not an American car, a captive, Shevi, right? It means a captive, right? Doesn't mean an American car. Vayish mimenu Shevi. Okay. So what does it mean exactly? Vayiru kol ha'eda ki gava Aaron, the people saw that Aaron died, and they cried, and the Kananim heard, and they attacked. What? Mashmita Eitzel Harsinai. What does one thing got to do with the other? Because Aaron died, why did that prompt the Kananim to attack? So we're going to learn a Gemara. Every Jew needs to know this Gemara. The Gemara says in Tainis and Daftes that the Jewish people had three great leaders. Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen, and Miriam HaNeviah. We also had three great gifts. The Be'er, the well in the Midbar, the Anan, the clouds, Uman, and the manna bread, the manna that came down from Shemaim. Again, we had three great leaders, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. We had three great gifts. We had the food, the manna that came down from heaven, we had the Anane HaKavod, we had the clouds of glory, and we had the Be'er Shel Miriam. Says the Gemara, in the merit of these three great leaders, we had these three gifts. The Gemara tells us, in the merit of Miriam, we had the Be'er, the well. In the merit of Aaron, we had Anani HaKavod. In the merit of Moshe, we had the Man. Says the Gemara, if we had the Be'er, if we had the well in the merit of Miriam, so what happened? In this week's parsha, Miriam HaNeviah dies, and then what happens? Right? The people cried out, they had nothing to drink. They had nothing to drink. Why? Because since Miriam HaNeviah passed away, so they had nothing left to drink, and therefore they were thirsty. So in the Zechus of Miriam, they had the Be'er, but when Miriam died, they lost the Be'er. That's why the Pasuk says, Vatamas Miriam, V'lo hayamayim lo'eda. Says the Gemara, in the merit of Aaron and Moshe, the Be'er came back. The well came back. The Gemara continues. When Aaron HaKohen died, what happened? The Anane HaKavod left. The clouds disappeared. How do I know? Says the Gemara. Because the Pasuk says, Vayishma HaKnani, the Knani heard, and they attacked. Ask the Gemara, what did they hear? They heard that Aaron died. They heard the Anane HaKavod departed. And they figured that if the reason why God protected Klal Yisrael is he didn't want us to attack, so now that the Anane HaKavod were no longer here, we have free reign, we could do whatever we want, we could attack Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, that is the meaning of the Pasuk. Vayiru kol ha'eda ki gava aron. It doesn't mean vayiru they saw. Says the Gemara, al tikri vayiru. Don't read it. They saw ella vayirau. They were afraid. Ki gava aron. It doesn't mean that Aaron died. It means because Aaron died. Vayiru kol ha'eda. The entire Klal Yisrael were afraid. Why? Ki. Because Aaron died. In other words, now that Aaron died, they're completely unprotected from the elements. By the way, in the Midbar, you're in terrible heat, the sun is beating down on you, you can't even survive for one day in the Midbar without this protection. And in the Zchus, in the merit of Aaron HaKohen, we had Anani HaKavod, Aaron HaKohen dies, the Anani HaKavod disappear. Says the Gemara, both the Anani HaKavod and the Be'er Shel Miriam both returned in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu. But when Moshe Rabbeinu died, we lost all three. We lost the Be'er, we lost the Anani HaKavod, and we lost the Man. And that's the meaning of the Pasuk, the Akhid Ashloishes Haroim Be'yarech Echad. You lost all three leaders in 1 month. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? We didn't lose all three leaders in 1 month. We know Moshe died in Adar, Aaron died in Av, and Miriam died in Nisan. So what do you mean we lost all three leaders in 1 month? Says the Gemara, in the merit of Moshe, all the three gifts returned, but when Moshe Rabbeinu died, they all left. So it was as if all three leaders were lost in 1 month. Okay? So if you walk out of the shir with one piece of information, that we had three gifts in the Midbar, and they were in the merit of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, that in itself was a night well spent. Okay? Man in the Zchus of Moshe, Anani HaKavod in the Zchus of Aaron, Be'er in the Zchus of Miriam. What we would like to discuss this evening is why specifically in the merit of Aaron did Klal Yisrael merit to have Anani HaKavod? What exactly did Aaron do that in his merit we were zocha to these protective clouds? They protected us. We read in Sefer in Parshas B'Shalach how when Bnei Yisrael were coming out of Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim were shooting at us. Rashi says, Avnei Ballistarois, projectile missiles, and they were absorbed by the Anani HaKavod. We understand in Shir HaShirim, we read, Mizois Oilam in Amidbar, where the cloud, where the Goyim, where the Umais Oilam were Nespoil. They were in great astonishment that Klal Yisrael merited this special protection of Anani HaKavod. This was all in the merit of Aaron HaKohen. What exactly was it about Aaron HaKohen that because of him we merited the Anani HaKavod? Okay. Let's try to understand the simple meaning of the Pasuk. If you look in Pasuk Aleph, Parakhof Aleph, Vayishma HaKnani Melech Arad Yoshev HaNegev Kiba Yisrael Derech HaAsarim. The Kananim heard that the Bnei Yisrael were coming Derech HaAsarim. What does that mean, Derech HaAsarim? Which road is that? What is the Derech HaAsarim? Rashi says two explanations. The word Asarim, if you look carefully at the word, the root of the word is Tarim, spies. So Rashi in his first commentary says, the Kananim saw that Bnei Yisrael were traveling the route that the spies took when they went into Eretz Yisrael. Or Rashi says, that the Bnei Yisrael were taking the route that the Aron led them in. So Rabbi Shulev Diskin asks, who cares? What does that got to do with anything? What about the fact that the Bnei Yisrael were taking the route of the spies or the route of the Aron, why did that trigger anything in the minds of the Kananim that now it's a time to attack? Says Rabbi Shulev Diskin, if it were up to him, he would offer a completely different explanation. The word Asarim has a different root. It does not have the root tarim, spies, but rather the root of the word asarim is asra. Right? Anybody who learned shas would know, what does the word asra mean in Gemara? Asra means a place, inhabited place. Says Rabbi Shulev Diskin, so long as Aaron HaKohen was alive and the Bnei Yisrael were traveling led by the Anani HaKavod, you know where they would travel? In the most deserted, uninhabitable areas. In the hottest, most dangerous areas. Why? Because with the protection of the Anani HaKavod, they had a cool breeze. The Anani HaKavod would flatten out any mountain. It would raise any uneven terrain. And it would make the road paved in front of him. This was one of the functions of the Anani HaKavod. So normally when Bnei Yisrael traveled in the Midbar, they took the most dangerous, crooked, desperate, anybody who would travel that road would die very soon. But Klal Yisrael specifically took that road. Why not? This was what the Anan HaKavod did for them. It paved the road. It was Man Mech HaGavoya U'Magbiah HaShpalim. It raised the low places. It lowered the high places. And this was the normal road that Klal Yisrael took. And that was until Aharon HaKohen died. But once Aharon HaKohen died, now Klal Yisrael could no longer travel on those rocky terrain over the mountains and in the valleys. Now they had to travel only Derech HaSarim, only in inhabited places. So the Kananim say, what happened? Until now, Bnei Yisrael always traveled in these rocky terrain. Why now all of a sudden they have to travel only in inhabited places, places where they could buy water, places where it's smooth? What happened? Oh, they don't have Anani HaKavod anymore. Why don't they have the Anani HaKavod? So they did an investigation. It must be Aharon HaKohen died. Oh, Aharon HaKohen died. We are now primed to attack. Says Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin, this is the meaning of the Pasuk. The Kananim heard that the Bnei Yisrael were now coming, Derech HaSarim, the inhabited places, and they asked, why now? And they realize it's because of the death of Aharon HaKohen. Okay. So we come to something most interesting. And that is Friday night, in the Zmiros of Friday night. By the way, just as an aside, at a Shabbos table, you're supposed to sing Zmiros. That's part of the Shabbos experience, right? You don't just eat and talk. Sing Zmiros. One of the Zmiros we say Friday night is HaMe'acharim Latzeis Min HaShabbos U'Me'maharim Lalai. Those who delay the exit of the Shabbos and those who swiftly accept it. What does that mean? That means there's a mitzvah called Taisva Shabbos. Aside from Shabbos itself, we are commanded to add on to the Shabbos both before and after. Does anybody know how much time we're required to add on to the Shabbos? Says the Mishnah Berurah, a minimum of 2 minutes. 2 minutes, okay? We're not talking about 18 minutes is for women. Women light 18 minutes before the Shkia. And if you want to wait 18 minutes, not Tovu Ma'anoim. We are obligated to add 2 minutes onto Shabbos in the beginning of Shabbos, at the end of Shabbos. A minimum of 2 minutes. Why? Why? There are two possible explanations for the mitzvah of Tosva Shabbos. By the way, very interesting. We say, Vishamru B'nei Yisrael Shabbos. B'nei Yisrael watches the Shabbos, right? And we like to consider ourselves Shomrei Shabbos, right? We don't turn on the light. We don't drive on Shabbos. Technically speaking, that's not what it means to be a Shomer Shabbos. What does it mean, Vishamru B'nei Yisrael Shabbos? The Rishonim say, Vishamru is a Lashon of the Aviv Shamar Es Hadavar. Remember Yaakov Avinu? He hears about the dreams of Yosef. So what does the pasuk say? Ve'aviv shamar es hadavar. He was waiting eagerly in anticipation that these dreams come to fruition. The definition of shemira is not to do malach. The definition of shemira is to eagerly wait for something. So when we say we're a shomer Shabbos, you know what that means? That means when we look at our watch and we realize it's Shabbos. If the Shabbos is what's schlepping us to the shul, we're not yet a shomer Shabbos. Definition of Shomer Shabbos is, you get to the shul before the Shabbos and you're waiting for the Shabbos. Definition of Shmira Shabbos is to wait in eager anticipation of the Shabbos. Okay? That's just an interesting insight from the Rishon. In any event, we have a mitzvah of Tosva Shabbos. If you were writing Zmiros and you wanted to talk about the Tosva Shabbos before a Shabbos and the Tosva Shabbos after Shabbos, which one would you write first? Obviously, you would first write, Me'maharim lavoi, u'me'acharim lotzeis. First, the Jewish people quickly, with great anticipation, they accept the Shabbos, and they delay its leaving. Why does the author of this Zimra, of this Zemer, why does he say it out of order, Hama'acharim lotzeis min ha'Shabbos, u'me'maharim lavoi? Okay, so now we have a chakira. What is the reason why there's a mitzvah of Tosva Shabbos? Is the reason why there's a mitzvah of Tosva Shabbos because, look, everybody's watch is imperfect. Nobody can know precisely what time it is. So if we're going to keep Shabbos at the precise moment that it starts, we're bound to make a mistake. So we need to add on to the Shabbos just in case, even if we have an atomic navy clock, just in case you know, it might be off by one split second, so you have to add on. Is that the reason? Or, and that reason is advanced by the Medrash. The Medrash says no human being knows precisely what time it is. You could have a timer to the billionth of the second. Yeah, but you're bound to make a mistake. Or is the reason for Tosfos Shabbos because there's a separate mitzvah. Even if you know it's not Shabbos, you have a separate mitzvah to add on to the Shabbos. Says Rav Pinchas Mikaritz, Pinchas Karitzer. Pinchas Karitzer was Niftar in 1791. He was one of the early Hasidim. Actually, he befriended the Baal Shem Tov. And after he developed a relationship with the Baal Shem Tov, he was taken in. And very soon after, he opened up his own shop in his location. But in any event, Rav Pinchas Karitzer, who is known for his sharp vertlach, says the following. If you say that the reason for Tosfos Shabbos is because you never know precisely what time it is, what would be if you knew exactly to the second when Shabbos started and ended? Would you then be required to add on to the Shabbos? You could make the case, perhaps not. If the only reason for Tosfos Shabbos is because maybe you're not getting the right moments. So maybe, if Lu Yitzur, theoretically, you knew exactly when Shabbos started, you wouldn't have to add on to the Shabbos. Was there ever a time in history that we knew exactly when the day ended and when the night began? Yeah, there was, actually. When was that? In the Midbar. How? Because we know that during the day we had the Amud Anan, the cloud, and during the night we had the Amud Esh. As soon as the night began, the cloud gave way to the fire. As soon as the morning began, the fire gave way to the cloud. This was even better than an atomic clock. So in the Midbar then, was there any need to have Tosfos Shabbos? No. And therefore, in the Midbar they didn't have Tosfos Shabbos. Until that fateful day that Aaron HaKohen passed away. And when Aaron HaKohen passed away, what happened to the Anani HaKavod? Anani HaKavod left. So on that Shabbos that Aaron HaKohen passed away, they didn't have Tosfos Shabbos in the beginning of Shabbos, but they had Tosfos Shabbos at the end of Shabbos. They didn't have Tosfos Shabbos in the beginning because they knew precisely when Shabbos began. But they had Tosfos Shabbos at the end because since the Anani HaKavod left, they didn't know when Shabbos ended. So the very first Tosfos Shabbos says, Rav Pinchas Karitzer began at the end of Shabbos. And then the next Shabbos, it started at the beginning. Hence, the author of the Zemer says, HaMa'achrim Latzeis Min HaShabbos. The first Tosfos Shabbos was at the end. U'memarin Lavoi. And the next Tosfos Shabbos was at the beginning. This Vart is quoted in the Sefer Iturei Torah. And the author of the Sefer adds in parentheses, he doesn't know what the source is that Aaron HaKohen died on Shabbos. Since when did Aaron die? Aaron didn't die on Shabbos. We don't have such a tradition. We know Moshe died on Shabbos. David died on Shabbos. But just to have a nice vart in Kol Mekadesh Shvi, you know, you can't say that Aaron died on Shabbos. So although he'll accept the vart as Rav Pinchas Karitzer's vart, what is the makar for this idea that Aaron died on Shabbos? And the answer is, there is no source. That's because Rav Pinchas Karitzer never said this vart. I'll tell you how he said it. In Rabbi Warman Sefer, in the Oiroi Shah HaShabbos, he says the vart a little bit differently, and this is probably more correct. And that is, Aaron HaKohen didn't die on Shabbos. Maybe he died on a Tuesday, but we don't have a tradition on Shabbos. But we know that in the Zchus of Moshe, the Anani HaKavod came back. Moshe died on Shabbos. The very first Tosfos Shabbos was the Shabbos that Moshe Rabbeinu died. There was Tosfos Shabbos at the end of that Shabbos, and then there was Tosfos Shabbos at the beginning of the next Shabbos. So this question of the Iturei Torah, it's probably not a question because the Pinchas Karitzer probably did not say the Vart in this vein. Okay. In any event, we move on. And we come to something absolutely fantastic. We know there are two ways of establishing the calendar. Nowadays, we don't really have a Sanhedrin, and to establish Rosh Chodesh, Edim are not going outside, seeing the new moon, and then running into the court and saying, we saw the new moon, it's Rosh Chodesh, right? We don't do things like that anymore. How do we establish the calendar, Bezman Hazeh? Al Pi Cheshbon. Hillel II, many years, many thousand, right? 2,000 years ago, established the calendar for all time until the year 6,000. That's called Al-Pi Cheshbon. Now the question is, what is the primary way of establishing the calendar? What's the best way to do it? Is the best way to do it the way we do it today? Or we would perhaps say the best way to do it is Al-Pi Re'iyah, the way they used to do it when the Beis HaMikdash stood and we had a Sanhedrin, and the way we do it today is only Bidiyeved because we don't have a better option. Rabbeinu Chananel, one of the Rishonim, who is quoted in Rabbeinu Bechaye in Parshas Bo, says something absolutely astounding. And that is, the primary way to establish the months is Al-Pi Cheshbon, based on a calculation. By the way, the Rambam disagrees, and the Rambam writes that Rabbeinu Chananel was forced to say this because of certain pressures of the Karaim and other heretical sects in Judaism. But in any event, this is what Rabbeinu Chananel says. Rabbeinu Chananel says the main way to establish the calendar is based on cheshbon, calculation. Where did Rabbeinu Chananel get this from? Says Rabbeinu Bechaye. Because when Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar, they couldn't see the moon. Why couldn't they see the moon? Because the Anani HaKavod were blocking. The Anani HaKavod were so thick and heavy and protective. The Jew could, at Matzah Shabbos, they would announce Kiddush Levana. They would look up in the sky, they don't see anything. There was no moon. There was no moon at all. Says Rabbeinu Chananel, the Jewish people in the Midbar never saw the moon, never saw the sun. So then how did they know when Yom Tov was? Says Rabbeinu Chananel, the same way we know when Yom Tov is. Moshe Rabbeinu sat down with his pen and paper and made calculations when Rosh Chodesh should come out and when the Yom Tov should come out. Hence, says Rabbeinu Chananel, the primary way of establishing the calendar is Al-Pi Cheshbon. So maybe you'll say, what do you mean? Maybe the Anani HaKavod, they left for a few seconds. They gave the Jews a chance to see what the moon looks like. Says Rabbeinu Chananel, quoting the Pasuk in Sefer Nehemiah, no, Anani HaKavod did not leave even for one moment. Says the Pasuk in Nehemiah, V'yata b'rachamecha harabim lo yazavtem b'amidbar es amud ha'anon lo yisar me'aleim b'yoimam. The Anani HaKavod did not leave during the day. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Chananel, if the Jews never saw the Levana, how did they make Rosh Chodesh? Al-Pi Cheshbon. Says Rabbi Yonasan Ibershitz, in Sefer Yaros Devash, now I understand the Chazal. Chazal say that when they appointed Yoshua ben Nun to be the new leader of Klal Yisrael, it says, the Kenim Shabadar Amru, the elder said, Pnei Moshe, the face of Moshe, Kepnei Chama, looked like the sun. Pnei Yehoshua, the face of Yoshua, Kepnei Levana, looked like the moon. Ask Rabbi Yonasan Ibershitz. Why only the Zakenim said that? What, nobody else commented on the way Moshe looked and on the way Yoshua looked? Says Rabbi Yonasan Ibershitz, no. No one else commented. You know why? Because no one else had any clue what the sun and the moon looked like. You know why? Because they never saw it. But the Zakenim, who remembered 40 years earlier that there used to be something called the sun, there used to be something called a moon in Mitzrayim. They were able to look at Moshe, ha, Taka, he looks like the sun. Yoshua, he looks like the moon. That's why specifically Zakenim Shabadar Hayoim. But the problem is, as Rabbi Yonasan Ibershitz, this is untenable. How can we say that the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar did not see the sun and the moon? But we know, the Gemara says in Masechet Tainis, and Daf Lamed Amud Beis, Loi hayu yamim tovim liYisrael, the two happiest days on the calendars were the 15th day of the Av and Yom Kippur, right? So the Gemara says, Yom Kippur, I understand why Yom Kippur was such a happy day. You know why? Because it's a day when our sins are forgiven. But what was so great about the 15th day of Av? Says the Gemara, you know what was so great? Because when the Meraglim came back with their bad report on Tisha B'Av, Hashem decreed that all 600,000 males between the age of 20 and 60 would not make it out of the Midbar. And every year on Tisha B'Av, every male between the age of 20 and 60 went out into the desert with a shovel and dug their own grave. They lay down in the grave, and in the morning a baskol, a heavenly voice, came out and cried out, Hibadlu hachayim in hamesim. Let the living separate from the dead. Whereupon 15,000 Jews remained dead in their own graves that they dug. and the rest of Klal Yisrael climbed out. And this happened for 40 years. The first year, 15,000 Jews died on Tisha B'Av. The second year, another 15,000. The third year, another 15,000. The fourth year, another 15,000. Until, says the Gemara, they got to the 40th year, Tisha B'Av, how many Jews are left? 15,000 Jews left. The 15,000 remaining Jews, they dig their own grave, knowing this is their last night. The morning comes, they hear the voice, they get out, and they say, hey, wait a second, why are we alive? We're supposed to die. So they say, you know what? We must have miscalculated. It must be we got the wrong date. Tisha B'Av must be tonight, the next night. So they did the same thing the next night. In the morning, you know? They realize they're still alive. They say, we must have messed up by 2 days. They did it again. They did it again, until, says Tosfos in Masechta Tainus, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, they looked at the moon, they saw it was a full moon, and what does a full moon show? It's the 15th day of the month. They say, we can't be off by 6 days. It must be God rescinded on the Gzeira. So what's the obvious question? I asked Rabbi Yonasan Aibishitz, Rabbeinu Chanan said that in the Midbar they did not see the Levana for 40 years. Says Rabbi Yonasan Aibishitz, that's until the 40th year on Rosh Chodesh Av. Who died on Rosh Chodesh Av in the 40th year? Aaron HaKoyen. Aaron HaKoyen died 9 days earlier. What happened when Aaron HaKoyen died? Anani HaKavod left. There was a 1 month opening during the 40 years where they saw the moon. They were Mekadesh Levana Apiriya. And that month was the only month that they were able to see the moon, and they knew that it was the 15th day of the month. Says Rabbi Yonasan Aibishitz, Rabbeinu Chanan is correct. For 40 years they didn't see the moon until Aaron HaKohen died, Rosh Chodesh Av, in the 40th year. That was their one opportunity to see the moon. By the way, just point out, this Varta, Rabbi Yonasan Aibishitz, does not work out with what Rabbi Pinchas Karatzer said. Rabbi Pinchas Karatzer said again, the Anane HaKavod departed and came back, what? Came back the next Shabbos, right? Here we're saying the Anane HaKavod were out for 15 days, okay? So, what? Pasuk Nechemya. It's a kasha on both of them, right? It's a kasha on both of them. By the way, the pasuk in Nechemiah, it's a whole question, b'chal, because the Vilna Gaon says that at the Chedo Egel and Anani HaKavod went away. I have the pasuk in Nechemiah, so the Chassam Sofer addresses that pasuk in the Drushas. Okay, we'll leave that aside. But this is the
Moabite woman, when the Jews sinned with the Moabite woman, didn't they go outside the camp to do that? Or?
that's a big question. But for now, we're just bringing out some of the historical phenomena that occurred due to the death of Aaron HaKohen. That Aaron HaKohen, in his merit, the Anane HaKavod came to Klal Yisrael, but when he died, the Anane HaKavod disappeared, and that's how we understand the Gemara Masechta Tainus, that in the 40th year, they were able to tell that it was the midpoint of the month, because the Anane HaKavod had departed at that time. Okay. By the way, with this Rabbeinu Chananel, we could explain another very fascinating nuance in the Chumash. That is, there's a Yerushalmi. If you notice, Meretz Hashem, when we get to Parshas Pinchas in a couple weeks, and it talks about the various karbanos that are brought on the Yom Tovim, every Yom Tov you bring a Seir Izin, a he-goat, right? A goat. As what? For what? A karban chatas. Now, if you look carefully in the Chumash, it says on Rosh Hashanah you bring Seir Izin l'chatas. Yom Kippur, Seir Izin l'chatas. Sukkot, Seir Izin l'chatas. Pesach, Seir Izin l'chatas. Shavuot, Seir Izin. It does not say the word chatas. Ask the Yerushalmi, why does it not say the word chatas? Says Yerushalmi, because Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah on Shavuot. So every year as we accept the Torah on Shavuot, that is a great merit that God atones for our sins, and it's considered like we never sinned. We don't need to bring a karban chatas. That's what the Yerushalmi says. That the one Yom Tov we don't offer a chatas, a Shavuos, because that's the day of Kabbalah HaTorah. Very interesting. Because if you look in Parshas Emor, when it talks about all the karbanos that are brought on the various Yom Tovim, Rosh Hashanah, chatas. Yom Kippur, chatas. Sukkot, chatas. Pesach, chatas. Shavuos, chatas. wait a second, I thought the Yerushalmi said that in Parshas Pinchas we don't bring a chatas on Shavuos. It's not called a chatas because we don't sin. Not that we don't sin, that we're atoned for our sins because we accepted the Torah. So why in Pinchas does it not say chatas by Shavuos? And in Emor it does say chatas by Shavuos. And you could ask furthermore, what in the world is the Yerushalmi talking about? Because we accepted the Torah on Shavuos, it's considered like we don't have any sins? What does Shavuos got to do with Matan Torah? Shavuos is not the day we accepted the Torah, especially in the times of the Chumash. Right? We know the Gemara says Shavuos could come out on Hey, on Vav, or Zayin Sivan. Nowadays it only comes out on Vav, because the way the calendar was fixed, Shavuos will only come out on Vav. But in the times of the Gemara and the Mishnah and the Chumash, Shavuos could come out Hey, Vav or Zayin, and Shavuos had absolutely nothing to do with the giving of the Torah. So what's the Yerushalmi talking about? Because we accepted the Torah on Shavuos. Midiraisa, we didn't accept the Torah on Shavuos. Biblically, Shavuos has nothing to do with the giving of the Torah. So Rabbi Warman, in his Sefer She'eris Yosef Chelak Dalet, says a Ga'ainistik of Pshat. Listen to this. If we calculate the months based on Cheshbon, then Shavuos will always be Vav Sivan. Says the Gemara Menachos, what's the difference between the Karbanos that are mentioned in Pinchas and the Karbanos mentioned in Emor? Says the Gemara Menachos, Karbanos mentioned in Pinchas are the Karbanos that were brought in the Midbar. Karbanos mentioned in Emor are the Karbanos that are brought for all times. Ah. If the Karbanos in Pinchas are the ones offered in the Midbar, Shavuos always came out on Vav Sivan. Why? Because Rabbeinu Chananel says, in the Midbar they made the months Api Cheshvan. So in the Midbar, Shavuos always came out on Vav Sivan. That means Shavuos was always the day of the giving of the Torah. Hence, in Parshas Pinchas, it never doesn't say Chatas on Shavuos, because Shavuos is the day of the giving of the Torah. But when it comes to Parshas Emor is talking about the Karbanos that are brought for all generations. For all times, Shavuos has nothing to do with Matan Torah. It could come out Hey, it could come out Vav, it could come out Zion. That's why it does say Chatas by the Karbanos mentioned in Parshas Emor. Okay. One more item. And that is from Rav Nachum Zemba. Listen to this. If you look in Parshas Behaloscha, Parshas Behaloscha talks about what Klal Yisrael did in the second year, in the first month of the year. What did they do? They brought the Karban Pesach. What does Parshas Bamidbar talk about? It talks about what Klal Yisrael did in the second month of the second year. So think about it. Bamidbar talks about the second month of the second year. Behaloscha talks about the first month of the second year. It's out of order. Why would Bamidbar talk about the second month of the second year, and Behaloscha talk about the first month of the second year? Says Rashi, says Tosfos, you know why? It's a big cover-up. It's a big cover-up for Klal Yisrael. What's the cover-up? Parshas Behaloscha, we talk about the fact that Klal Yisrael brought the Karban Pesach in the first month of the second year. Wait a second. Why did Klal Yisrael only bring a Karban Pesach one time throughout the 40 years, right? Look through the Chumash. How many times did Klal Yisrael offer a Karban Pesach in the Midbar? One time. That means 39 years they failed to offer the Karban Pesach. So therefore, we don't want to draw attention to the fact that Klal Yisrael did not bring a Karban Pesach for 39 years. So you know what we start by Midbar with? The second month. Then we go back, you know, people, right? You ever see Parshas Bereishis, right? Everyone's Maver Sedra. Benayach already, you know, you lost half the people, right? Brachas, everyone's learning Daf Yomi, right? Bashabbos, Bamenucha, right? That's how it goes. And then Arab, right? So Bamidbar, everyone's paying attention. Once you get to Behaloscha, right? Everyone's asleep, right? Everyone's asleep. So therefore, we put into Behaloscha the fact that Klal Yisrael did not only brought the Karban Pesach one time. This way, nobody pays too much attention to it. Ask Rav Menachem Zemba, but why did Klal Yisrael only bring the Karban Pesach one time? He says a major chiddush in the Sefer Zera Avram. Zera Avram is a Sefer written Rav Menachem Zemba in conjunction with Rav Meir Simcha of Dvinsk. They got together to write a little Sefer called Zera Avram. Says Rav Menachem Zemba in the Sefer, he's actually from from Rabbi Avram Luftwehr, who I don't know personally. He says the following. In the parsha of Karban Pesach, it says, Vayikra Moshe l'chol ziknei Yisrael. And the Mechilta says that means you need to establish a Bezdin to pronounce the month of Nisan. Nisan. So what do we see from there? That in order to bring a Karban Pesach, you need to establish Nisan al pi Re'iyah. And therefore, since Rabbeinu Chananel tells us that in the Midbar they were not able to establish the month through witnesses, but rather al pi Cheshbon, they're not able to bring a Karban Pesach. By the way, that would put to rest the whole, you know, you have a lot of people, they want to bring a Karban Pesach today. Well, could you do it Petumah? Could you not do it Petumah? According to this, it's all irrelevant, because if you don't have a Sanhedrin, you cannot pronounce the month of Nisan Mekudosh. Okay. We move on. Yeah, Rabbi Isai, good? Yeah, you like the shir so far? So far, so good? I'm just joking. People are, you know, a little tired tonight, right? Okay. We move on to another inyan in the Ananei HaKavod. Targum Yonasan ben Uzziah, right? To give a shir on Parshas Chukas and not talk about the Parah Aduma, right? How could you do that? That wouldn't be good. People are going to go home, they're going to say, can you imagine the rabbi didn't even talk about the red cow, the red bull, right? You know about the red bull? You know that drink?
Red Bull.
You know the drink Red Bull, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the owner of Red Bull, he passed away Shabbos Parshas Parah Aduma. It's true, right? It's true. Maisa Shahaya. Maisa Shahaya. What?
He's Jewish?
I don't know. Okay. Back to the ranch. The Targum Yonasan ben Uzziah says the following. If anybody has a chumash, it says like this. You have a chumash, maybe? You have a chumash?
Yeah,
okay. The pasuk says, pasuk gimel in Parshas Chukas. Unesatim oisel alazar akoyen. You give the para to Elazar HaKohen, v'hoitzi oisel michutz amachne, he takes it outside, b'shachat oisel lefanav, and you shecht it before him. Listen to this Rashi. If you think about it, this Rashi is one of the most mysterious Rashis in the entire Chumash. B'shachat oisel lefanav, you shecht the para aduma in front of Elazar. Says Rashi, zar shoichet. What's a zar? Yisrael. Yisrael shechts it. Ve'elazar roya. Elazar watches. What's this all about? Elazar's a mashkiach all of a sudden. If a Yisrael is allowed to shecht a carbon, you don't need mashkichim, right? You don't need hashkacha. And yet, now normally, if you want to talk about a mashkiach, you say oimed al gabav. And here it says zor shoichet, right? Yisrael shechts it. Ve'elazar roya. Elazar is looking. What's he looking at? You know, stop looking. You ever see, you're in the middle of doing something, someone's staring at you. You know, mind your own business. You're getting me nervous. So what's going on over here? Zar Shaychet? Elazar Raya. What's Elazar looking at? It should say, Elazar Oymid Al-Gabav. And since when do you need a Mashkiach who's a Kohen? Right? Then it's a new Chumrah in Kashrus, right? That's the next thing you'll hear. Right? You can't eat in this store because a Mashkiach's not a Kohen. You can just imagine. So what's going on? Zar Shaychet? The Elazar Raya. Even more strange, the Targum Yonasan ben Uzziah says, like this, that the Sidnon Yasa Lazar Sagan Khan, now you give it to Elazar assistant Kayin, the Hanpak Yasa Lachaida, he takes it out by himself, Lamibar Lamashwisa outside the camp, the Sadar Chazar Chazar La Sidure Kisan de Tainaya, he surrounds the cow with wood from a fig tree. Okay, that's a whole story in and of itself. The Chahano Echaran Yikos Yasa Kadamai Bisrain Simanaya. A Kohen then comes, shechts it, the Yivdekina Bismane Shrei Trifan, and you check the offering for the 18 Shreifos, which means it is a animal could have 18 possible Shreifos that are wrong with the animal. It could have a hole over here, a hole over there, a hole, right? You check 18 points, right? Like the car, 18 spot inspection, what is it called? 18-point inspection? You have to check the paradum 18-point inspection. What's going on? Erez, you check when you shecht an animal, you check it for treifus? Say no. Huh? You only check the lungs, right? You check the lungs for a sircha. You don't check an animal for 18 points. Well, why not? Why don't you check? You rely on Roiv. Roiv, the animals are not. So what's the Targum Yonis and Uziel saying that you got to check the Paraduma for 18 trefos? Okay, we come to something amazing. There's a Braisa called Braisa de Meleches HaMishkan. Okay, we're going to be a little bit, give me some time. The Braisa says the following. Reb Shimon ben Yosi Oimer, look at number 16. Kol arboim shana shahayu yisra ba'amidbar lai nitzrech echad mayhem lai la'arachama b'yoyim lai la'arhalavana b'layla. The 40 years B'nai Yisrael were in the Midbar, they didn't need sunlight during the day, they didn't need moonlight at night. So how'd they know when it was the day and the night? Says the Medrash, Elahedim hayu yodim shashaka chama, when the clouds turned red, they knew the sun was setting. Hilbin hayu yodim shazarcha chama, when it turned white, they knew it was rising. Says the Braisa, so how did they see? The cloud of glory emanated so much light that they had X-ray vision, like Superman. They could see into a barrel and know what was inside. They could look into earthenware and know what was inside. How? Because of the clouds of glory. Ki onan Hashem ala mishkan yoimam. Says the Medrash, the Braisa, La'asid Lavai, we will get that light back. How do we know? Kumi Oiri Kiva Oirech. How else do we know? Sefer Yeshaya tells us, Lo Yia Lecha Oir Hashemesh Or Yoimam Lenoigai, we won't need the sun when Mashiach comes. We won't need the moon. The clouds of glory will provide the light. And it says further in Yeshaya, right? Yeshaya, you're a big star tonight. It says further in Yeshaya, this is, by the way, a pasuk you say when you menachem avel on Shabbos, you see an avel, you say this pasuk from Yeshaya. In any event, the Braisa, the Meleches HaMishkan is saying that the Anani HaKavod provided such powerful light that they could look right through the walls. They could look in a barrel, know what's inside. Look in earthenware, know what's inside. They don't need the sun, they don't need the moon. By the way, this Braisa is quoted by Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos, where Tosfos says on the Gemara on Shabbos, that says, why did they light the menorah? They didn't need the light of the menorah. They had the Anani HaKavod that emanated light wherever they went. Oh, you know why they had the menorah? As a demonstration that the Shechina rested in Klal Yisrael. Because they didn't need it for the light. Why not? They had Anani HaKavod. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh in Parshas Emor, that's why, right after you read about all the Yom Tovim, you read about the Yom Tif of Sukkis, and then you read about the Halakas HaMenorah. What's the connection between the Sukkah and Halakas HaMenorah? Says our Achaim HaKadosh, why do we sit in the Sukkah? To commemorate Anani HaKavod. Oh, we had Anani HaKavod that emanated light. So then why do we have a Mitzvah Menorah? That must be, we're not lighting the menorah for light, we're just lighting the menorah to demonstrate that God rests among the Jewish people. In other words, we have all these sources, the Braisa, Tosfos, Anane HaKavod emanated such great light, they were able to see through brick walls, see through the barrel, see through the container.
You mean three things explain.
What?
Three things explain. What do you mean?
That means, you know...
I don't get it.
Like when you go over to your friend, you say, can I borrow $100? So he said, I don't have it. So he said, what are you talking about? I see in your pocket, you have $100 in your wallet. Right? They're not air covered. Yeah, they could see through things. Dangerous, right? You could get you very nervous. Right? Oh, by the way, who else had that? Who could see from one end of the world to the next? The Gemara Nida says, Vlad b'mei imoy, ner dolok al roishoy, a child in his mother's womb could see from one end of the world to the other. Says the Panim Yafais and Pashas Pekudei, what do you see from there? That the light of God has no boundaries. Could see right through things. How could the child see from one end of the world to the other? He's in there in his mother's womb. The mother's in the room, which is in a building, which is blocked by... How could he see? This type of light, the light of the Shechina, has no boundaries. Says Rav Shalom of Amsterdam, yeah, new name, got that? New name, Rav Shalom of Amsterdam. He was also a nifter the same year as Rav Pinchas Mikaretzer, 1791. That is what the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel means, that the Yisrael shechts and Elazar sees. What do you mean sees? He's the Mashkiach? No, he's not the Mashkiach. You don't need a Mashkiach. He's checking to make sure there's no treif on the animal. What do you mean checking? You don't have to check. Yeah, you do have to check. You know why you have to check? What's the reason we don't check animals for treifa? We rely on a roiv that they're probably not a treifa. But that's only because we can't be mevarer, we can't clarify before we shecht. But what if you could look at an animal and see what's doing on the inside? Then of course you're obligated to check the animal for treifa. Therefore, Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel says, Zar Shaychet, Elazar Roya. He's not doing hashkacha. He's checking the animal for treifa, because when you're able to check, you're required to check. Says Marel Diskin. In Parshas Vayakhel, we know how many machos are you not allowed to do on Shabbos, right? 39. And Parshas Vayakhel, the Torah only enumerates one of them. Which one? Vayisevaru eish b'chol ma'ishvesachem yem ha-Shabbos. So the obvious question is, you have 39 machos. Why is the Torah picking on Vayisevaru? Says Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin, what are we not allowed to do on Shabbos? The malachos that are necessary to build the Mishkan. There's one malacha that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, even though it's not needed to build the Mishkan. Which malacha is that? Lighting a fire. What do you mean? You don't need a fire to build the Mishkan? How are you supposed to see at night? Oh, how are you supposed to see? They didn't need candles to see at night. They saw with the Anani HaKavod. So the one malacha that they never needed in the Mishkan was lighting a candle. So you might think you're allowed to light a fire on Shabbos. Says Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin, therefore the Torah especially picks out Laisavaru, Eish, B'chom, Eishvaisechem, B'yayim HaShabbos. What? Oh, even though the Rambam says you need fire for Bishol, but the malachas you're not allowed to do on Shabbos are those malachas needed to build the Mishkan, not in the everyday ceremonial procedures of the Mishkan.
Not only in the Mishkan.
Okay, but you don't need fire for that. You only need fire for karbanos. Karbanos is not part of the binyan mishkan. Look, the Rav Shulev addresses that in number 22. Okay, one added thing. There's a pasuk in Parashas Yisro that Yisro tells Moshe, "Vishaftu es ha'am b'chaleis." You'll judge the people at all times. What do you mean you'll judge the people at all times? We know. Anyone who ever learned Chosh and Mishpat would know that you're only allowed to judge cases during the day. You're not allowed to judge cases at night. Says the Meshach Chachma. If you remember when you learned Chosh and Mishpat, the famous Sma, the Sma says if you turn on the lights, you're allowed to judge cases at night. Says the Meshach Chachma. Since you had Anani HaKavod and the light was shining at all times, that's what Yisroi means, Veshaftu Es Ha'am B'chaleis. Okay. Avosai, why did we have Anani HaKavod in the Zchus of Aaron HaKohen? So for learning that the Anani HaKavod is what provided a ner for Klal Yisrael, a light for Klal Yisrael at all times, and the Gemara in Shabbos tells us what is the function of the ner, what is the function of light in a house? Why do we light the Shabbos candles? For Shalom Bayis, right? Because what's going to happen? If you don't have light in the house, you're going to trip over something, you know, your kid left on the floor, and you're going to blame it on your wife, and it's going to be who knows what's going to happen, right? You're going to get into a big fight. So candles take care of all fights, right? The Gemara says, the reason we light Ner Shabbos is to avoid fights. It's to promote Shalom Bayis. Rashi, the Gemara says, if you have a choice between Shabbos candles and other mitzvos, Shabbos candles takes precedence because of Shalom Bayis. Rashi, in a number of places, writes, when people sit in the dark, they're bitsar, they're angry, they're upset, they get agitated, they're irritated. Light makes you happy, right? Like the pasuk said, Vayar Hashem es ha'or ki toiv. Light is a happy thing. So therefore, perhaps, Aaron HaKoyen, who was Oyev Shalom, Veroidev Shalom, the function of Aaron was to promote peace in Klal Yisrael. In his merit, what do we have? We have the great light of the Anani HaKavod, the great Shalom, the great R that the Anani HaKavod provided. We'll end in the following way. The end of Parshas Pekudei, it says that the Anani HaKavod appeared to the eyes of all of Klal Yisrael. What is that supposed to mean? As opposed to what? As opposed to what? As opposed to the eyes of some of Klal Yisrael? Very interesting. The Vilna Gaon tells us that after the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu makes the following plea with Hashem. V'niflinu ani v'yamcha. We want to be distinguished. Neged kol amcha esa nifla ois. What was Moshe Rabbeinu asking for? Says the Vilna Gaon, the greatest hatzlacha, the greatest success a person could have is if he knows that God is with him. Right? What could be better? Imagine you're walking down the street and all of a sudden you get a message that's written in the heavens. It says, you know, dear Pliny, I'm with you. I'm with you. You're on my side. Whatever you do, I'll be with you. Love Hashem. Right? That would be nice. That would be very nice. If you knew Hashem was together with you, that would be the greatest possible benefit. That's what the Anani HaKavod were. As much as possible, we can't see Hashem in this world. Layirani ha'adam b'chai. But the greatest, the closest we've ever come to seeing Hashem was seeing the Anani HaKavod. Now, when did we first see the Anani HaKavod? When we left Mitzrayim, says the Vilna Gaon, we had Anani HaKavod, but not everyone saw it. Only the Nevi'im saw it. But then, when the Anani HaKavod rested on the Mishkan after the Tefillah of Moshe, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, this was the pinnacle of the success of Klal Yisrael. We say, in the Navi Yeshaya tells us, Ki ayin b'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem Tzion. We will see with our own eyes that God will return to Tzion, to Yerushalayim. What does that mean, we'll see with our own eyes? You can't see Hashem, right? La'irani adam achai. What will we see? Says the Vilna Gaon, we will see the return of the Anani HaKavod. This is the closest that a human being can come to seeing Hashem. Ki ayin b'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem Tzion. This is what we're anticipating. This is what we're hoping for. And based on this Vilna Gaon, now we understand. We say every day in davening, you've probably said it thousands of times without having any idea what it means. Oyer chadash al Tzion ta'ir. God illuminate Yerushalayim with a new light. What's the light? Flashlight, you know. Hashem, you know, we're waiting for the flashlight to shine on Yerushalayim. What are we davening for? Says the Vilna Gaon, based on the Vilna Gaon, we are davening for the return of the Anani HaKavod. The Anani HaKavod was the great light with which Klal Yisrael experienced the divine presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. This was all in the Zchus of Aaron HaKohen. Avoisai, thank you for coming.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.